terrible accident, I know, but it doesn't have to come between us.
Oh, Kaz, why did you have to spoil it all?
But nothing spoiled, really, Isabel. Look at me.
No.
All right, Isabel. I'm sorry for everything. I'm sorry we ever met each other. Goodbye, Isabel.
Well, he's lost her. Another romance on the rocks. The original Casanova would have kissed away the lady's tears and swept her back into his arms. But our Casanova, Casanova Brown, simply sighed, went to the Grand Central Station and bought a one-way ticket for his hometown. Now, in Rossmore, Illinois, he's getting off the train, and running up to meet him is a different young lady.
Cass, darling.
Oh, Madge, don't ever let me out of your sight again, please.
Why, darling, what is it? Is something the matter?
I was crazy to go away and leave you. I'm not safe without you, Madge.
Oh, well, darling, we're together again. And it's true, what you said in your telegram.
Is what true?
That you want us to get married right away and settle down and have a happy, quiet life together.
A nice, quiet life together, Madge.
Darling, you're all upset. You'll get a good night's rest, and tomorrow you can talk to Dad.
Talk to J.J.? Why?
Well, isn't the prospective groom supposed to ask permission of the bride's father?
But, J.J.?
I know, but it's merely a formality. Tomorrow, darling, tomorrow. Oh, wait a minute, darling. There's someone in there with Dad.
An apparently endless series of vulgar accusations. And now I'm afraid I must ask you to leave.
But, Grandpa, somebody took my piggy bank.
If I hear another word about that blasted piggy bank of yours, I'll flatten your Meccano set.
Did you hear that?
Oh, Dad's always angry since Mother and I put him on an allowance.
Well, don't you think we ought to wait for a more propitious moment if he's already angry?
Oh, it's just a bluff, that grizzly bear stuff. He really loves us very much.
I do not. I enjoy you, that's all.
Kaz wants to talk to you, Dad.
Huh? Oh, hello, Kaz.
How are you, J.J.?
Well, Madge, there's no call for your putting your nose into this, is there?
None whatever, Dad. I'll see you downstairs, Kaz.
What a revolting female she is. Well, sit down, Kaz. Here, take my chair.
Thanks, J.J.
Ouch! What's the matter?
Something under the cushion. Oh, a piggy bank.
Piggy bank? Odd place to put it. Well, Kaz, what can I do for you?
Well?
You know, I've missed our little talk since you went east. Not that I was the sole reason for your frequent visits. It's quite all right, Kaz. I've not been blind to this little deadfall Madge set for you, my boy. But you're much too intelligent to be taken in by that dreary female.
Well, perhaps I'd better make my position clear, J.J.
By all means, Kaz.
Well, my salary as professor of literature isn't munificent, but it's adequate. And as for my character, I believe I behave reasonably. I'm not overly susceptible to girls.
So what? The point of this whole thing seems to have eluded me somewhere.
I'm simply trying to tell you that I want to marry her.
Marry whom?
Marry Madge, of course.
Madge? You out of your mind?
I am not.
But whatever on earth for?
Well, because I love her, of course.
Love Madge? Oh, come now, Kaz. That's just downright silly. You must have a better reason than that. What is it, her money?
Now, just a minute.
Because if it is, you might just as well forget the whole matter. I had precisely the same idea with her mother.
I haven't the slightest interest in Madge's money.
Oh, they've got it all right. Pockets of it. By George, I've dreamed about that dough just to get my mitts into that cash box for 10 minutes. But no. Now they turn me down cold. I'll never forgive them, Kaz. Never.
And I think you got exactly what you deserved for being a shameless, unmitigated scoundrel.
I suppose so, but it was a bitter disappointment just the same.
Mrs. Ferris has already given her consent.
Then I used to dream about outliving her. Just sit it out, as it were. But along came Madge and her sister, and now her odious little boy. It's no use, Kaz. I tell you, they're eternal. All of them.
Listen, J.J., yes or no, just for the record.
No. But you'll probably go right ahead and marry that repulsive female anyway. When is the hanging to take place?
In June. Mrs. Ferris wants us to wait. And thanks a lot for giving us your blessing, J.J.
Hey, now, wait a minute, Kaz. Where did I put that urchin's piggy bank?
Who is it? Oh, hiya, J.J. Time for the rehearsal?
Yeah, just about. Brush up the morning mail.
Thanks.
Look, Kaz. You still got time to crash out of this booby trap.
It's no use, J.J. This is the day before my wedding, and I refuse to be demoralized by a cold-blooded sinner like you.
They cut my allowance again today. Down to $25 now.
Good. Look through that mail while I finish up, will you, J.J.?
Uh-huh. Well, they're just bills. Bills and ads. Willow Street Cleaners, New York University. Ellen Harris Maternity Hospital. See here, Cass. Are you planning already to have a family?
Would you object to minding your own business?
This is my business. How many grandchildren he has is every man's business. And if you're negotiating already with a maternity hospital...
What? Let me see that letter.
Some men say they can't have too many grandchildren, but I'm one that can.
Huh. Don't you know an ad when you see one?
Ad? Well, they've got a nerve. Let's see. What excuse they give for soliciting a man's business before he's even married. Sounds unethical to me. Mr. Casanova Q. Brown. Dear sir, a matter of personal importance and one which I would rather not take up in correspondence unless you prefer. You know, Cass, I was involved in a little blackmail accident at one time. Letter sounded exactly like this. I suggest that at your earliest convenience, you call at the hospital and consult with me. Cordially yours, Martha Zernicke, M.D.
Let me see that.
Do you know this female or this hospital?
Never heard of either.
Strange, very strange. Hey, great Scott, the time. We're going to be late for the wedding rehearsal.
Holy smoke, hand me that tie, J.J.
Well, here's the sucker.
Oh, John, I do wish you wouldn't refer to Cas like that.
I said, here's the sucker. When do we test the scaffold?
We're starting the rehearsal right away. Mr. Ferris, will you take your place beside Mrs. Ferris? Now, will everybody get ready, please? Everybody get ready.
Just a minute, Cas. If this was a mistake, how do they get your address?
I don't know anything about it.
You didn't write to them asking about prices or anything like that?
No, of course not.
They're waiting for you, Mr. Brown. Mr. Ferris, up beside the bride, please. Fill up the gap. Lovely, lovely. Keep it
still. Madge, do you know anything about the Ellen Harris Maternity Hospital in Chicago?
Father, please. Don't rush, bride. Keep it still. Oh, straighten up, groom.
Mustn't say. Seems that somebody's counting on your having quite a family.
Yeah, for heaven's sake. About ready, doctor.
Splendid, splendid. Now, may we have quiet, please?
And another thing, Cass. What about the Q?
Q?
Yeah, if it was a mistake, how did they get your middle initial?
Father.
What?
The rehearsal.
Is he all right?
I heard that.
Cas, what is it?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't feel very well.
Oh, Cas, darling.
I'm sorry. Please excuse me for a few minutes.
Cas!
Well, I don't wonder. If I was in his shoes, I'd certainly feel nauseated. Hey, Cas, wait for me.
Close the door, J.J. Unlock it.
Now, look, Cas. If that letter's a mistake, we're in a position to knock off quite a little quick dough. They can't run around scaring the pants off young bridegrooms. We'll threaten to sue them, then we'll settle out of court. Why not?
Well, because it may not be a mistake.
But of course it's a mistake. What'd you say?
I said it may not be a mistake.
Oh. Oh. What gives, Cass?
I don't know. I tried to call her on the phone long distance, but she wasn't there.
Called whom?
I just don't know what to do.
Cass, if you fail to touch a base somewhere, I'm not without a measure of experience.
No. Nothing like that, J.J.
Yes?
I'm in a very peculiar situation. Listen, can I trust you to keep your mouth shut about this?
Oh, of course, Cass.
Last year, I wrote a book about that scandalous ancestor of mine called Casanova in Florence.
Well, now, Cas, don't you think we can skip the high-minded aspects and get strictly down to the nubbin?
I took the manuscript to New York, and while I was there, I met a girl.
Ah, we're getting somewhere.
Isabel.
Isabel, eh? What was she like?
Well, have you ever seen the sun come up at dawn?
Yes, I have. It curdled my stomach.
Well, I liked the way she walked, and her eyes, her eyes were like burnt charred embers in a field of snow.
Large face, eh?
She was going to college in the city.
Well, what was the score at this point?
Well, I was driving her home one night in a car that I had rented.
Oh, it's such a lovely night.
Oh, nice moon.
Makes you sort of hate to go indoors.
Well, why go indoors? It's early yet. How about driving up the river?
Oh, I'd love to. Well, that is, if you think it's all right.
Why wouldn't it be all right?
I mean, you probably got a girl back home.
Girl back home?
Well, haven't you?
Well, no. That is, well, yes, except...
Except what?
Well, what's she got to do with it?
Nothing. We can still be good friends. You know, I feel so comfortable when you're around, Cass. I feel as if I'd known you all my life.
So we drove on up the river, J.J. She told me about herself, about her folks.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that, Cass. Her parents. Did they have dough?
Oh, plenty of it.
Good, good. Now, this is getting more interesting. Go on.
Well, we drove until midnight. And finally, came to a little town. You know, one of those nice little... Sleepy?
Uh-uh. I could drive on like this forever. You don't mind my head on your shoulder?
No, I like it there.
Where are we?
Just outside Mayfield.
Mayfield?
Yep. Know someone here?
Oh, Kaz, isn't this the place where they have so many runaway marriages? You know, by justice of the peace, people come from New York so they won't have to wait.
Yes, I guess it is.
Kaz, you didn't pick this road deliberately, did you?
No, I swear I didn't, Isabel, but Isabel, do you believe in predestination?
I never thought about it, Cass. Do you?
Well, I never did, but tonight I almost feel I could.
Look, Cass, that sign there, underneath the light.
Wilfred Drunkel, Justice of the Peace.
Great Caesar, Cass. You mean you married her?
That's right, J.J., we got married by the Justice of the Peace that night.
Good grief. I see. I see what you mean by saying you're in a very peculiar situation.
J.J., I've got to get to the bottom of this whole thing.
I should think you do, my boy. But how?
Where's my bag? I'm going to Chicago. Right now.
Many men learn on their wedding eve that they may be the father of an unsuspected heir resulting from a previous unadmitted marriage. But true to the best traditions of his namesake, Casanova, our Casanova finds himself in this somewhat odd predicament. In his bachelor rooms, he tries to explain the situation to his prospective father-in-law, who takes it as probably few fathers-in-law would.
Why do you want to rush off to Chicago?
Because I want to know the truth. I don't want any secrets between me and Madge.
Madge? Your marriage to Isabel gets you out of being tied up to Madge.
I'm not married to Isabel.
Huh?
Her parents had the marriage annulled.
Oh, they didn't take kindly to the idea.
Well, there were attending circumstances not too helpful.
I see. You hadn't been married before that, had you?
No, it was this way. A few days after we were married, we went over to meet her parents. Home in the suburbs was like a palace. We knew they were upset, so we agreed that I'd wait in the drawing room while Madge went in and calmed them down. I can just imagine what a grilling that poor girl went through.
Who introduced you?
We just met at the library, Mother. We asked for the same book at the same time.
What does he do?
He's an author, Dad.
Oh, like Mr. Louis Bromfield?
Well, not exactly. They didn't accept Kaz's book. Oh, but it's wonderful, Mother. All about his ancestor, Casanova.
Casanova?
You married an Italian?
Oh, Casanova's a historical character, Edward. Rather fast.
Oh.
But, Mother, Kaz is nothing like that, believe me. He's kind and gentle. Just meeting him and talking to him will tell you why I fell in love with him. I'll get him.
No, not yet, dear. In moments like this... There is one place we can always turn for guidance. To the stars.
Mother, you're not going to drag that astrology stuff in. Oh, Dad.
Oh, now, dear. Mother knows best.
And the stars know better still. Now, here's the book I was looking for. Astrology and Marriage. When was he born, dear?
His birthday's April 8th. He's 37.
April 8th, 1907. April the 8th. Ah. Oh, dear.
Oh, dear, dear. Oh, oh, you poor child. Well, there's nothing to be gained by keeping these facts from him. Invite him in, dear. Oh, the poor, poor child.
Kaz, dear.
Are they sore?
No, no, but be careful, will you? Oh, you're smoking.
Yes, I was a little nervous waiting.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, Mother can't stand men who smoke.
The butler told me, but I couldn't find an ashtray, any place to put it.
Oh, hurry, do something with it.
A handkerchief. Here, I'll smother it in my handkerchief.
Now, be careful, dear, won't you? You won't do or say anything.
Well, I'll do my best, of course.
And when I tell you how distressed I am, Mr. Brown, I want you to understand that there's nothing personal about it.
Well, I hope not, naturally.
Mr. Brown, this whole project is fraught with disaster.
I beg your pardon?
Do you realize, Mr. Brown, where Sagittarius was on the day of this marriage?
No, I'm afraid I don't.
On September 3rd, Sagittarius was in the fifth solar house of Neptune.
Oh, really?
On that same day, listen closely, Capricorn was adverse, Virgo was discordant, and Taurus was in sextile aspect to Venus. In short, catastrophe.
But that's astrology.
Of course. How else would we know how to govern our lives? Do you smoke?
No, thank you.
I thought for a moment I detected a slight odor of tobacco or something. Well, now, let us turn to your birthday.
Excuse me, Mrs. Drury.
Yes?
Do you mean that you would base your approval or disapproval of your daughter's marriage on that nonsense?
Nonsense, Mr. Brown?
Couldn't possibly have picked a worse word.
You don't believe in astrology, I take it?
No, I don't believe in astrology. I don't believe in crystal gazing, and I don't believe in beer suds reading. And if I did, I wouldn't impose that belief on the lives of two people who love each other.
What Kaz means, Mother.
Even though their marriage spelled calamity?
What kind of calamity? There's no chance of any calamity in this marriage.
Now,
Capricorn,
I say, Mr. Brown, are you on fire?
What?
He seems to be burning something in his pocket.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't understand it. Handkerchief. Caught on fire.
Careful, dear.
His coat's on fire, too.
Well, how do you like that? Must have burned right on through.
Yes, and now it's burning the rug. A cigarette. Oh, and look, the chair.
Oh, step on it, somebody.
The chair's on fire, too. Charles!
Get some water from that vase.
This is most embarrassing.
Some water, Charles.
Yes, sir, right away.
Now, what are you doing to that chair?
Well, it's got down into the stuffing. I have to pull it out.
Oh, look out. The curtain's catching.
Water!
What did you have in your pocket, Roman candles?
Oh. Beat it out. Come help me beat it out.
No, you're just fanning it.
Where's Charles with that water?
Water won't help now. You need a hose.
Call the fire department.
Fire department.
No, Edward, no. Telephone.
Oh, yes, telephone. Charles, call the fire department.
My word, yes, sir, my word.
Mr. Casanova, you're a pyromaniac. That's what you are, a fiend.
Help!
Well, the firemen have gone.
The house is gone.
Mrs. Drury.
Don't you come near me.
I find myself in an extremely awkward position.
You certainly do, if I'm any judge of awkward positions.
I know. I know I owe you both a genuine, sincere apology.
That's good. He burns down a $750,000 house and he apologizes. That's very good indeed. Get away from here.
But, Mr. Drury...
Isabel!
Get away and stay away!
Isabel! Come away from that infidel.
Look, Mrs. Drury.
Don't you come near me. I would as soon associate with a time bomb.
But, Mrs. Drury, it's a terrible thing. I know, but don't you understand? An accident?
Accident? You call it an accident with Sagittarius in the fifth solar house of Neptune?
Sagittarius, my eye. That's downright idiotic.
No, Kaz, please.
Listen, Mrs. Drury, you may interpret your life through fingernail pairings, but that's got nothing to do with me and Isabel.
You can leave Isabel out of your calculations, Mr. Brown. I will not see her fly twice in the face of astral warnings.
Astral warnings? What have I married into, voodoo worshippers?
Kaz, you can't talk to my mother like that.
Then tell her to shut up about those stars.
With Sagittarius in
the... Listen, you ignorant old crackpot, I burned that house down. Sagittarius had nothing to do with it. It was me.
And now he's boasting about it.
Isabel.
Oh, Mother, what shall I do?
Isabel, you've got to listen to me. It was all a terrible accident. I know, but it doesn't have to come between us.
Kaz.
Look, I'll make up for it somehow.
Kaz, why did you have to spoil it all?
But nothing spoiled, really, Isabel. Or is it? Look at me.
No.
All right, Isabel. I'm sorry for everything. I'm sorry we ever met each other, and I'm sorry for what I couldn't help. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. And if I can think of any way to turn the law on you, I'll do it.
Oh, J.J., that was the end.
Yeah, I can see what you mean by circumstances attending the annulment of the marriage.
It happened so fast, I never had a chance to break the engagement with Madge. And then when it was over, I just wanted to forget, to come back here and take up where I'd left off.
So, now your first wife may be about to present you with a child on your wedding eve. What are you going to do about it?
Go to Chicago, like I said. I can catch the midnight, find out what happened, and fly back tomorrow afternoon.
But this is a chump idea, even if it is a baby. Why do you have to do anything about it?
Well, if it's true, I'm going to make a clean breast of the whole thing to Madge.
Cass, promise me one thing. Don't go crashing in there yelling, "I'm the papa." You understand? Chicago is a big city. A lot of activity, and if there's been a missteal somewhere, you don't want to be left holding the spare card, do you?
I understand.
From the moment you step into that hospital, walk on eggs. No matter what anybody says, no spigoting. You weren't even there that night. You were attending a bean supper in the YMCA in Cleveland. And good luck, my boy.
Excuse me. My name is Brown, Casanova Brown.
Good morning, Mr. Brown. Wait right in here, please, and we'll call you when we're ready.
Well, I'm looking for Dr. Martha Zernike.
I know. We'll call you as soon as you're to go in.
But surely you can tell me something.
Well, you have nothing to worry about. Mother and child are doing nicely.
Oh, then it is a child.
Well, what did you think it was going to be? Now, please wait for an orderly in the father's room, Mr. Brown.
I know just what you're going through, bud. If they had 9 watches in this hospital, they wouldn't tell a father what time it was. Is this your first?
Yes.
How long you been married?
Oh, I'm not married.
What? Oh. Oh, non-union, hey?
Here comes an orderly.
Hey, what's new? Listen, Mr. Brown, will you please come with me?
I wanted to see Dr. Zernike, you understand?
Yes, I understand. Just come with me. Okay, take off your clothes.
Huh? What are you talking about?
And put this gown on.
For just a minute now. I came here to see Dr. Zernike.
I know it. Get your clothes off. All he wants a physical exam.
Physical examination? Me?
Well, you're the father, aren't you? It's a matter of routine.
Oh, well, it just seemed kind of funny.
I've just been over your report, Mr. Brown. It seems you're in excellent physical condition.
Well, I'm mighty glad to hear it, Dr. Zernike.
And I want to thank you for coming here. A report like this on file simplifies the case tremendously. We know what possible complications might develop. And in this instance, I would say the baby was very fortunate. By the way, wouldn't you like to see her?
Well, is it all right?
Of course, right through this door. She's such a darling. Even the nurses have fallen in love with her. Of course, we have to keep them behind this glass partition. But if you look in that third crib, you will see her. The name Drury. There she is.
Well, what do you know?
Like her?
Oh, she's fine. But, how would you say she compares with others of her age, her weight?
Oh, perfectly normal.
Oh, just normal, huh?
Well, perhaps a bit better.
And, I know this sounds rather foolish, but has she all of her arms and fingers and toes, I suppose? Nothing missing, I mean.
A full set. The customary number and variety. Have you seen her mother?
Who?
Her mother, Miss Drury.
Oh, is she here too?
By a strange coincidence, yes. She's in the solarium.
And her parents?
Only Mr. Drury, and he's not with her now. Wouldn't you like to see her?
Very much, please.
It's right down there, into the corridor and then to the right.
Doesn't it strike you... And I don't say this just because she's my child either, but... didn't it strike you that her head seemed to be just a little better shaped than usual at such an early age?
Oh, there's no question about it. It'll be a very lucky family that gets that child.
Oh, thank you. Turn to the right, you said.
That's right.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yes?
What did you mean by the family that gets that child?
I mean the family that gets it for adoption.
Adoption? What adoption?
Well, I thought you understood. Miss Drury's registered the child for adoption. That's why we needed your medical record.
Well, who had that fool idea?
Well, I'd hardly describe it as a fool idea.
Well, do you actually mean you're peddling my daughter to some lazy idiot who hasn't got a family?
Miss Drury's title to the child is clear and legal.
Well, what about the father? Or what's he supposed to do, just stand around and twiddle his fingers?
Really, Mr. Brown, these are matters you must take up with Miss Drury, if you'll excuse me.
Certainly. Thanks.
Oh, hello, Cass.
Look here, Isabel. What's this about, Isabel? Gee, you look good.
Thank you, Cass. You're looking quite well yourself.
No complications?
No, isn't it wonderful? I was so scared. I suppose everybody is, but everything went right on schedule. Did you see the baby?
Did I? Oh, yes. Say, what's the idea of giving my baby away?
Your baby?
Isn't it?
Technically, yes.
All right, then. What's the idea of giving my technical baby away?
If you're going to raise your voice, Kaz, I'm afraid I'll have to go back to my room.
I'm not raising my voice. I just want to know what's the idea.
If you're going to shout...
I'm not shouting. I'm sorry. I'm excited, that's all, but what is the idea?
I'm afraid you forget, Kaz, that I'm under no obligation to account to you. What I choose to do with my baby is my own affair.
Well, that's a fine attitude.
However, suppose a girl was thinking of getting married again. Suppose this marriage meant the chance of a lifetime for perfect happiness.
What are you talking about?
Suppose this man idolized you, even as you loved him. Would you take the chance of destroying this whole future by suddenly presenting him with another man's child?
Great Scott, are you planning to get married again?
I said suppose.
Well, that's ridiculous. You can't marry anybody.
Why can't I?
Because you're a mother.
Well, that's not stopping you.
What are you talking about? I'm not a mother.
You're a father, and you're getting married again.
Well, who told you that?
I read it in the paper.
What paper?
The Rossmore paper. That's what paper.
How'd you get a hold of a Rossmore paper?
What difference does it make? It's true, isn't it? You're getting married tonight.
Well, but that's different.
Is it? Then how would you like to go to Madge tonight and say, look, darling, I've got a little surprise for you, and then flash a baby?
Well, of course.
All right, if you don't want your happiness spoiled, neither do I.
But you can't do it, that's all. You just can't throw that baby away. And you can't marry that creep you've dug up either.
But you'll be happy, Cass.
But happy with utter strangers?
But everybody's a stranger to a newborn baby. She doesn't know anybody.
She knows us, all right.
Oh, that's absurd.
Why didn't you write to me?
Why didn't you write to me?
You knew I loved you. You knew there was no one else on earth in the world for me, no matter how nutty your mother was.
How was I to know? After the way you left.
Well, that fire was an accident, darling. Believe me.
I waited and waited and nothing. Not a word. I waited until it seemed foolish to wait any longer. So far as I could see, you'd just forgotten.
Forgotten? I've never forgotten.
No, don't, Kaz, please.
It's true, darling. I've tried again and again, but I can't forget you.
Oh, please, Kaz. You're in love with someone else.
Me? Who?
You're engaged to be married.
That's right. Holy mackerel.
Oh, Kaz, why did you wait so long?
Isabel, look, I've got to catch the plane home, but before I get out of here, you've got to do something about that baby.
It's too late, Kaz, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Oh, isn't there, huh? Well, we'll see if there's nothing I can do about it.
Hello? Yes? Chicago? Mr. Farish? Yes, he's here. Chicago calling you, Dad.
Chicago? We'll be calling from there. Hello? Yes, yes, speaking. Who? Oh, Kaz.
Kaz in Chicago.
Well, how are you, my boy?
JJ, listen. I find myself in an extremely awkward position.
What's that blasted noise behind you? Sounds like a baby.
It is a baby. I've kidnapped her.
You what?
Isabel had a baby. She was going to let it be adopted, give it away. I couldn't let that happen, so I took it. I dressed up like a doctor and sneaked it out of the hospital.
Well, how do you like that? Where are you now?
In a telephone booth.
Well, you can't stay there. Or can you?
Listen, what I want you to do is this, J.J. Explain as best you can to Madge and Mrs. Ferris, then take the first plane and meet me at the Hotel Windsor. Bring some money.
Money? Where do you expect me to get money? You know the tightwads that I live with.
Well, do the best you can.
Well, of course, my boy. I'll try to handle it with all the tact and delicacy of a crooked diplomat. Goodbye.
That was Cass. What was it?
Just telling me that he met an old friend.
But in Chicago, the wedding is at 8. Is he on his way back?
No, he asked me to join him there. No time to lose. By the way, I should have said a new friend. Very new.
It's Casanova's wedding day in Rossmore, Illinois. But far away in Chicago, the groom is otherwise involved and very much so. An hour ago, he kidnapped his 3-week-old daughter from a hospital. And now he's hiding in a hotel room, waiting for J.J. to join them. Meanwhile, Isabel, the baby's mother, has just dropped a bombshell in the lap of Dr. Zernike.
Let me understand, Miss Drury. You never had the slightest intention of releasing the child for adoption?
Oh, I couldn't, Dr. Zernike, my own child. But I had to do something to get Mr.